This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Shame on us for Guantanamo Bay. What were we thinking, Brumsfeld? I just watched a movie that almost made me cry.
In Guantanamo?
Yeah, there was a detainee. We're talking about a real story. I'm sure people have heard it before, whatever. Look it up. Guy was in there 7 years, suspected of being tied to Al-Qaeda. The government had no evidence other than they tortured him. He signed a confession. And then 7 years later, they brought him up to see if there was enough to charge him. The government said, you have nothing. Let this man out. And then the Obama administration said, well, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. We think we need to hold on to him longer. Filed to fucking appeal his case. Held him there for another 7 years and 2 months until ultimately they said, oh, yeah, by the way, remember, we didn't have enough to charge him. We should send... Send him home. 14 years, 2 months later. Holy shit. What
wrong
a country.
Wrong place at the wrong time, bro.
Man, that was a difficult time for us. We don't like being attacked. But man, bro, the collateral damage. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
You know, it wouldn't have been such a bad time over there in Guantanamo if we'd have given him some nice cornhole boards, like some official ACL boards.
Maybe, you know,
score racks,
give less nice waterboarding, more cornhole boarding.
Yeah, I think the problem is it's not the boarding, it's just what type of boarding.
Yeah,
water versus cornhole. You know that what I mean? I don't know what I got to do if I got to go in front of this the Athletic Commission for Federal Penitentiaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should definitely be getting cornhole in jail, bro.
Prison League Cornhole.
Are you kidding me? Prison Cornhole, bro.
The PCL should be a spinoff. PPCL. Professional Prison Cornhole League.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I mean, listen, we're gonna have to sign out the bags because you can hide stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to definitely sign them in and out and, you know, and keep an eye on the guy that's in charge of signups.
That guy's going to be
on the purchase for sure.
Drug sniffing dogs are going to have to check all the bags before they can be released for play.
Check in and out. There's going to be the dog just at the post.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, what are you gonna do? It's not like it's like bocce ball where you have to throw it, where you suddenly have a fucking 9-pound weapon. You know, it's not shot put, it's not discus, it's not the javelin throw. Obviously, that's probably not gonna ever make it into jails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not sure we really want to have a nice strong team of 10 javelin artists running around the fucking yard. But cornhole bags, what are you gonna do? Hit me in the head when you throw it at me, bro? You know, give me a bruise under my arm. You know,
dude, exactly. I mean, can you imagine? Say I'm in the guard tower, right?
Yep,
and I'm the guy, you know, I'm watching them, everybody, because they're it's yard time, right? Uh-huh. And I'm the guy up in the tower, and I've got my rifle or whatever. And a big old freaking fight breaks out between two rival gang leaders, right? Mm-hmm. And what if I fired a warning shot in the air as it's popping off? And I say,
fucking fire warning shot sound. Wow, that's good.
And then it gets quiet, and then I get on the PA, and I say, Rodriguez, Johnson, take this to the cornhole court. And then everybody's like, ooh, in the yard. They're like, oh shit, it's about to pop off. And then we take it to the and then fuck, boom, they're on. I just did the Mission Impossible theme by mistake. I confused.
It doesn't matter. We were all on board. The story was going so good.
They get to the cornhole court, and then it's their side, this side, boom, boom, and they're playing. I mean, I just think it makes for a more rehabilitative process than what we currently have in the prison system.
And I'll tell you what, man, we could become the gatekeepers, bro, of all things cornhole in jail. We get the contract with the United States fucking federal penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and Todd are in charge of all things cornhole in prison.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this would explode in the prisons.
I know what you mean.
This would explode, bro.
And, dude, just think, you know, instead of shanks, they're going to start thinking about bags, you know? Bags.
Yeah.
Are like, and, you know, now they might be smuggling in, like, better bags up people's asses or whatever because, you know, fuck, it's hard for me to get game changers here or whatever. So lady comes in and she's got them all, you know, she's got a whole set stuck up her butt. Mm-hmm. You know what? But what harm is it? You know, what harm is that?
What harm is that?
That's better than heroin or weapons being smuggled then.
It's not drugs. You know, it's just a new release bag. You know, it's hard to get that when you're on the outside.
Yeah.
So think about how hard it is to get, you know, a set of these cornhole bags on the inside.
Look, if you're trying to get some of those bags that are 4 to 6 months out when you're in the free world, imagine like, I mean, you're going to freaking die in prison before you get those.
And why do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe this is where we start.
Smuggle them in your butt.
Now, if we get this contract, we're starting our own bag company. We're an exclusive bag company for the prisons.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
I like it. Man, we come up with prison associated names for our
releases
for our cornhole brands.
Yes, you know what I mean? Dude. You know what I mean? There's so many different things. When these bags are called 25 with an L. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I got the new 25 with an L's. Come
on.
I
get those new lifers, kid.
Bro, I got them widows, them white widows. I know there's already widows, I think. I think ultra widows, But I mean, because you can do the same spider webs that they do on their elbows.
Oh,
you know what I mean? The spider web elbow tat is a clear sign that this motherfucker been in jail for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And depending on how many layers of web, depending on how many years, you're going to want to have that bag on there. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to actually lay out the exact number of webs this guy has on his arm. Who don't want that custom shit?
Who don't want it? Have you tried the new lethal injections?
Yeah. Bro, they're fucking killers.
They're fast, but they're killer, fucking bro. Killers, dude. Killers. They go in the whole easy.
Bro, electric chair bags, bro. That's my company, I think. Oh. Death row bags. That's my shit right there. You guys heard it first.
Write it down.
Death row bag co, bro. We might have to cut this out. I might have to actually do that. You have to mark that the time because I might have to fucking
Stamp it. That's ours. Fucking
the death row bags, bro.
We'll
just start doing all the old 90s rap shit. Let's start fucking piggybacking music of somehow. Some way to do copyright infringement without doing the copyright infringement. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if they wanted to send their dogs after us, they might get us on some likeness stuff.
Right.
But you get it.
You get it.
There's so many options, bro.
I mean, you take all the, you know, when you're in prison, it's no fun, right? You get it's easy to get institutionalized. And what I'm saying is if they had something to work for, right? Like back in the day, then when they brought boxing to the prisons and you almost could box your way out, right? You got to a certain level. You could argue for early parole. Oh, he can go pro as a box. You now, how about early parole? Cause you can go pro as a cornhole player.
Bro, we could do commentary on the professional penitentiary cornhole league. You know what I mean? We'll get Trey out there. We'll get Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The full broadcast, bro. Listen, think Johnny Cash, but instead of an awesome songs, cornhole, jail cornhole, bro.
They keep trying to take away the gyms because they don't want them working out, right? Because then it encourages violence or whatever. But dude, if you were, it's just all about you're allowed to come out here and train for cornhole.
Guess what else? All the guys that can't do anything athletic on the yard can now do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You could be all the big boys that got busted up knees and shit. They're out there. They're on it now. all the guys with like a wrong, with like a one arm or a one leg that are in, they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has some serious potential. We could redo the whole movie with Adam Sandler, that jail movie.
Oh, Longest Yard.
We could do that one with fucking The Longest Bag or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The Longest Airmail, whatever you want to call it, because we can have guards versus prisoners.
Ooh.
All fucking out cornhole Royal Rumble, but only on bags, not in the real world.
Yeah, because, you know, team play. Now we could do team play. Mm-hmm. Almost like the Olympics, but let's do it within the prison system. We start with guards versus convicts, just like Longest Yard. And then we branch out. There's a whole penal league eventually where, you know, the best of the best from this prison are going to play the best from the best of that prison.
Oh, yeah.
Da, 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 da. And eventually, if you what we do is every year, whoever is the number one singles player that year, as long as you're not in there for murder or some type of, you know, sexual violence, anything like that. Under certain people convicted of certain predicated offenses that we would already, you know, line that out with our legal team beforehand.
Of course.
If you are the singles champion that year, you get out of prison.
It's not a big deal. I mean, it just sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on to something huge. I'm not going to sit here and lie, buddy.
I think so.
But, you know, again, that's just us thinking out of the box, creating, doing, moving, shaking, creating, doing. You know what I mean?
Doing. Yes.
I got a good hour of work in earlier right before this podcast.
I got a half hour of work in today, which is good for me.
I was doing some work earlier, so I couldn't get my bags in early. But I came around, caught a little bit of fucking time here. Me and my lady, we went to 10th Ave Burrito in Del Mar. I had the fish burrito.
Good choice.
You know, I went with just fish, black beans, avocado, and hot sauce, and lemon.
That's it. Simple.
We had the elote corn bites. Obviously, you're always going to go with the elote.
Okay.
You know, my lady had the avocado salad with a whole bunch of stuff going on in it. Got a few canned in Coronas, and we were good to go. I saw the guy. I did a chef episode with one of the fishermen in Belmar. We went out, and we caught a bunch of fish like 2 hours out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back in. I made fish tacos and shit, but the whole thing was with this company. Oh. And we saw one of the captains there at the bar and fucking sent them over a Corona. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He sent one back.
I like it. That's a G move right there.
It is. You know, listen, that's the only guy I really know, like, that I've met in this town.
Who wants to know? You don't need to know anybody else. As long as you know the captain.
Yeah,
fuck,
I got
everybody else on
two
the crew.
Captain, two ship captains, the only guys I know.
Right? It's just like Star Trek, dude. Like, if you want to be friends with Captain Kirk, who gives a fuck about everybody else?
Yeah, everybody else could fuck off. It's you and Captain Kirk's your boy. Mm-hmm. Spock was pretty cool. I wish I would have gotten into some other more things as a kid, but I just didn't have the patience. I wanted to go run around and bounce off walls. I had walls to bounce off, Todd. Have some respect.
I did too. I was literally, I watched as much TV as I could because it was either that or, you know, kill bumblebees with my yellow baseball bat, play bumblebee baseball, or bounce my tennis ball off the side of the barn to myself.
That's a good one.
For an entire day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, you gotta work on your shit. You know what I mean? It takes work to get good at the tennis ball off the side of the barn.
I had so many entertainment options. Sometimes I would throw dirt clods at the one bull that we had
on
the farm and hit him in the ass, and then he would chase me and my cousin, and then it was just a game we played, and it was to see if we could clear the fence before the bull killed us.
Mm-hmm. That's always a fun game as a kid.
That's how bored you get on a farm. Like, we're like down to, okay, we know this bull's mean as shit, so let's just throw dirt clods at its ass. And we would try to guess how far we could be from the fence when we did it, you know?
Yeah.
And there was one time that we were a little too far from the fence. I mean, I think the bull felt sorry for us at the end because he had us. It was like, dude, I could fucking feel his breath on my back as we hit the fence. And there's no way, even though we were pretty nimble little kids, Spider-Man over that thing, there's no way that we should have made it over that fence. I think the bull at the end was like, all right, I'm not going to kill these kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know what's going to happen to me after I do that.
It's not like he knew the dirt clods didn't hurt him. He's just fucking with you guys. Mm-hmm. I did, as a kid, my buddy had a, I wasn't say a farm, but he had chickens. He had like a good acre of chickens.
Mm.
So we had my buddy Joe in South Carolina, Joseph, in Gaffney, South Carolina. And in the summers, I would go there. And so I'd have to work my, you know, I'd have to work on the farm in the mornings because they, you know, his dad basically fed me all summer and shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he feed you chicken?
Well, we had, hey, we'd bring the eggs up.
Okay.
And we'd eat chicken.
Baby chickens.
Well, see, that many years ago, chickens. there was still a very large chicken fighting market. He had a magazine for 100 years through his family that he inherited called Grit and Steel.
Mm.
And it was a chicken fighting magazine. It was like dedicated chicken fighting, you know, all the tournaments, all the gear that you buy,
mm-hmm.
you know, the feed, all the interviews, everything was about the chicken fighting world.
Nice.
And then he had all these chickens. So I would help feed them, water them, get the eggs. And then we would have, sometimes me and my friend Joseph would have egg fights.
Oh,
so you run around fucking trying to blast each other with eggs.
Yeah.
I caught it one time right in the back real hard. Felt bad. He got a good welt out of that one. I feel bad. I still apologize from time to time. I text him.
Nice.
I said, my bad, bro. I didn't mean to catch you with that egg so hot. I had a good arm back then, you know? I had nice aim. I was fucking loaded. I was locked in. Fucking zeroed in, bro.
Isn't it bizarre to think about sometimes, like, these chickens, man? We hoard them up. We put them in a big-ass building. They're on lockdown, you know, in this building. And then they just, they get pregnant, and then they lay the eggs that have these fetuses in them, these future chickens that is.
And if you don't
there.
Know what a fetus looks like of chicken, it's a yellow circle in the middle with white stuff around it.
Right.
They call it egg whites.
And before that can turn into an actual like thing that kind of looks like a chicken, we mm-hmm. take it and then we fry them up in a skillet. We eat them. We make omelets out of them, whatever. Yeah. What if we became the chickens somehow? Let's say there is, you know, because we know aliens are coming at some point in the not so distant future.
Uh-huh.
What if they come and they're like, okay, you guys are now our chickens.
Yes.
And they fucking keep us in these camps, like these prisons. And then we just are there to have sex with females, and the females are, you know, and they take the future babies from them and they eat them. That's a yeah. morbid thing. I am not pro-abortion or anti, you know, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is these aliens are.
Yeah.
And they want to eat that shit.
We're doing what they're just going to do to us, what we do to chickens. That's all we're doing. They're going to brag if all these ones just walk around in a field. These ones they eat grass.
What they're gonna be future human baby omelets, future human baby Benedict,
uh-huh.
you know, where it's just a future human baby on an English muffin with a piece of ham.
Yeah.
I mean, in a hollandaise sauce. It's good. It's probably delicious. Anything's delicious with the hollandaise sauce on it.
A lot of people are going to take the egg yolks and they're going to put them in a bowl and whisk them up, just the yellow part, the yolk, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to dip chicken into it, and then they're going to dip that chicken into breadcrumbs, Italian breadcrumbs or panko. You know, and they can do it again, double down for an extra good quoting. You know, they're going to drop that piece. You know, if the chicken ceased to exist, the fucking planet might just fall right on its face. No eggs. No. Imagine all the dairy. I mean, like literally fucking chickens, goners. No more Popeye's fried chicken sandwiches, the spicy Krispies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? No more KFC.
Right.
You can't even be scared anymore because what are you going to call the person? You
know right. what I mean? What if we could convince them that like we're like just like chickens that we have our future babies every day. And then we just convince them that poop is like our egg.
Or what if there's no convincing needed? What if we just switch it over from babies to just that these aliens know how to make their best bakery with our turds mixed in with breadcrumbs and stuff.
Oh, and they just fucking, that's because there are always, there's new, you know, let's say our, because our body gets rid of all the waste by taking it, right? We pass the food through our digestive system. Our body pulls out all the stuff we don't need, and then it puts it in the form of a turd and it shoots it out the other end. What if everything that our body isn't supposed to have,
uh-huh.
it's exactly what their body needs? What if they need to eat our poop?
It's like the way that
to sustain.
it's just, let's just put it this way for you guys. Let's say it's actually trees the way it's with carbon monoxide and oxygen, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shit they give off that they don't need, they suck in the carbon.
Yes.
And they spit out the oxygen. That's the same thing. We need the oxygen. Oxygen is tree, nothing more than tree shit.
They're the complete opposite of us. They breathe. This is great. Write this down. This is our movie.
Uh-huh.
These aliens are the complete opposite of us. Like they're in a mirrored existence in a parallel dimension, yeah, or universe, right? Another part of the universe where they breathe carbon dioxide and they exhale oxygen. So them being here does help our planet, but they also,
yes,
eat poop and then they shit sandwiches. Like their whole system works, yes, in reverse. And then we get to eat those sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
In order to create more poop. It's just like a never ending cycle. And it's a,
and everybody wins.
It's a cool coexistence between our two races.
I mean, listen, I can't say that this is 100% true, but the thing is that I can't say it's 100% false.
Right. I mean, you and I can run a poop food truck for the aliens. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you right now, if we have aliens that eat our shit, our food truck is going to have the best shit sandwiches this side of the Mississippi.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
I'm going to make nice slaw.
We'll make poop egg rolls.
You know what I mean? I'm going to have shit on a shingle for real.
Boom. Real shit on a shingle.
Yeah, finally.
Jesus. That's going to be the number one requested item at our poop food truck.
Our shit truck.
We're going to be popular with these aliens, dude. You're going to be like $20 chef brand is going to fuck up. Okay. I mean, you're gone, not universal now. You're going fucking
intergalactical.
Intergalactic.
Fucking wild, bro. So many new marketing opportunities.
You're going to go on a tour across the fucking universe with it. Like, you're just fucking shitting in a bowl and making awesome things out of it.
I hope it happens the way, like, when you know, sometimes when you go on comedy shows and you're just wandering around having fun with people and then they go, hey, you want us to show you this cool stuff tomorrow? Like, there's always somebody every once in a while, there's somebody that just shows you, like, yeah, oh, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Want us to show you around, like, type shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that. But then someone does that in the galaxies and they're like, you want to see a black hole? And then guess what? We're the first ones. The shit sandwiches has powered us to be the first person to ever see a black hole. And that's called fucking destiny.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? And I'm a healthy pooper, too. So
yeah,
are. They're going to be fucking with the things you can do culinary wise.
Uh-huh.
And then you have my poop to work with. I mean,
you guys know what
to be reckoned with.
His nickname in the military was Lieutenant Long Log. That's what they call Todd.
This is promising for us. I hope this is how it goes down when it goes down.
I sure do, bro.
We can be in a good spot. Aside, if they're real cool about it, they're like, listen, we've been studying you guys pretty hard. Here's the deal. Yeah. We're the complete opposite of you. And our planet is running low on carbon monoxide. And we don't have humans, but we've analyzed your shit. And it's exactly like dietary wise, exactly what we need to sustain, mm-hmm, our existence. And it has everything in it. Like they used to have plants that they would grow and harvest when their planet was still good before they had a global warming problem that killed the ability to grow. And it just became like a desert planet, you know, mm-hmm, like on Book of Eli. And it was just everything they were growing is exactly what's in our poop. And now they got away. They're like, so we were thinking we could just come down here. Like you have these vast areas of land. We'll live there, you know, and then just we'll eat your poop. And then you guys can eat our sandwiches that come out of our butts.
And I'll tell you right now, we're talking about a nice hard low, you know, a nice hard roll here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Gluten free. We'll have that option.
Yeah, because that would be the thing, like, right? There's some aliens, like, when they crap sandwiches, they're like, this is only one carb per serving.
No preservatives?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, it's just...
You on keto? Cool, man.
Cool, bro.
What comes out of my butt is one carb,
buddy,
per serving.
Cool, man.
Mm.
And then if we want to step it up for a super special sandwich, every time they come up, it's going to be something like... It's going to be something that the aliens put on their Instagram.
Mm.
But it's going to be where I bring out the barbecue shit, the open face steak shit sandwich.
Oh,
shit,
yes.
The open face shit steak sandwich. And then I cock over and I pull a lighter out, bro, to sear it off. And I fart on the lighter. And then I sear off the shit sandwich, the shit steak sandwich.
I'll be like, hey, I have a little bit of a stomach bug today. You want me to make you guys some bisque? And I just put a bowl down to catch my diarrhea.
Too far, man.
You can use Sean's poop to make a grilled cheese and poop sandwich to go with my diarrhea. There you go. You want a cup or a bowl?
How was St. Louis?
St. Louis was off the hook, dude. There's like smaller audiences, but fun as fuck.
Hey, can you you shared something on the Patreon live stream earlier with everybody. Can you tell us again about the late? Like, can you tell us about when you had everybody raise their hand and all that?
Oh, with the, what was it? First of all,
you started off by saying that St. Louis is a goddamn war zone, basically.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I don't know what it just, for one, man, my fucking feature was a monster.
He was?
A fucking killer. His name's Larry Green. Look him up and follow him on social media because the dude is just great at comedy. He's, he's a younger guy, but he's got it. He's got it. He's going to be great. So he's fast paced. He's one of these guys. And I think we both, you know, when we were really strong features, that's where you get to because 25 minutes isn't enough for you to showcase yourself. So you have the ability in 25 minutes to just bam, 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 bam. And every fucking bit is a closer. You know what I mean? Like, wow. And he was one of those guys. It's just so good from top to bottom that he blows that fucking crowd up straight for 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I got to come out and slow it down a little bit, you know, give him a little break and then ease back in. Which is a great chemistry. I love that. It's like why I love, you know, I love any like dichotomy in comedy between like you and I are different at comedy. So we're great on a two person show, right? Mm-hmm. Cause we're so different. So it was like that. I was embracing that. But then I also was like, and part of slowing it down, I'm like, I want to talk to the crowd. So every set, I probably did crowd work for 40 minutes and I would close with like 10 minutes of stories.
Yeah.
So I, you know, in talking to the crowd, there was a table with three young ladies at it. And one had a cast on her right wrist.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, hey, what'd you do to your hand? You know, you had a cast on it. And she was like, oh, well, I was carjacked, robbed, and they shot me while I was trying to run away.
Jesus.
And I was like, what? And for a second, you're like, oh, you trying to fuck with me? You didn't want me to ask you a question? And then I'm like, look, and then her friends are like, no, for real. And I'm like, what? And so I'm like, she tells me the whole story, right? And it's an incredible story. Like she ran away and the guy shot at her 10 times. And as she was running away, one of the rounds went through her wrist, hit her in the wrist. So I'm like, geez, I'm like, how long ago was this? She's like, 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago.
She's fucking back on the saddle, kid.
Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, good for you. So we're kind of celebrating her being a badass bitch, you know, and all this stuff. And she gets done with her story. And I'm like, man, give it up for her one more time. And I'm like, God dang, St. Louis, man. I was like, you know, last time I was here, the place was closed for like a month because there was some big gangland shootout in the parking lot of the mall, right outside, which is inside the mall, right? So I'm like, man, St. Louis is rough, huh? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, well, raise your hand if you haven't been carjacked. And fucking like a bunch of hands go up, but there's like five or six hands that don't beyond her. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm like, you guys have all been carjacked? And they're like, yeah. And they were dead serious. Dude, this is a show that had like barely 40 people at it. And like six people, if you count the young lady in the cast, had been carjacked.
That's fucking insanity, bro.
That's crazy. That's 6 out of 40. I mean, I don't know. I'm not good at numbers. So what percentage that is, but it's over 10%. I can tell you that. What is it? 15? Almost. We're born 20%. If that's representative, of all of St. Louis than Jesus Christ.
Man, bro, Nelly needs to get out in these streets, start protecting people, dude.
Right?
We need fucking Nelly, bro.
And I got to be honest, the rest of the weekend, I'm like going out to my truck. I'm fucking doing a 360 perimeter check. You know what I mean?
You got to ask yourself, where is Nelly when you need him? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Nelly and I know that the fucking Lou, you know, is hurting, then, you know, you got to let these motherfuckers know, bro. You know what I mean? This is what happens. If you hear that happen, you get carjacked me. You know what I mean? Come on, guys.
Go look for somebody else.
Sorry, buddy. I'm with Nelly, kid.
It ain't going down here.
You ain't carjacking me tonight, my man. Oh, dude.
Go find you a Lexus. Get off my Ford F-150.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
You look better than
a
Lexus.
I keep the chopper. That's the thing about me, though, Todd, is that I keep my chopper on my hip. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Just a grip pump on my lap at all times, kid.
I keep it in my glove box. And it's actually pretty far away from me. It's hard to read. I've practiced drills of how fast can I get over there to unlock it and get it out. And it's too far away. I've got to find a place I can get to it quicker in the car.
Well, there is a great – I did see this on No Free Ads to this company, but – it's a thing that mounts under your dash that all you got to do is just like you grab your gun and push down and it pops out.
It's like, I've seen that. It's like in a little holster. Yeah.
On your dash for your dashboard.
If you push in and down at the same time, it like pops loose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're fucking in a shootout with no time. You know what I mean?
You got to be able to return fire.
By the way, can you shoot off one of those long range guns for us again? One of the best sound effects you make, bro. That's a top. I mean, I know you had a couple other ones, but that I can't think of right now. But that's definitely one of my favorite ones that you do by a fucking long shot.
It's probably one of the best.
See what I did there when I said by a long shot?
Get it?
You didn't even catch it.
I tell you what's not a long shot is what's when that? You're banking with the right people. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's, you don't want to take no long shots with that.
No, I mean, you want something that's easily obtainable. It's easy to use. You know what I mean? It's very user friendly. I think everybody here should consider looking at Current. You know what I'm saying?
The Current app, a debit card, Todd, is what you're talking about.
The Current app. That's what I'm talking about. It's a technology company that lets you manage your money on your phone. Current believes banking should be more accessible and affordable with no surprises, no minimum balances. There are a lot of advantages with using Current that you're not going to get with most banks. You agree?
I mean, I can't agree with you more, Todd. You know, the way it's Current's easy to use app and debit card gives, you know, it gives the consumer flexibility, Todd, the freedom and the faster access to their money. And that's what we're talking about. And, you know, it's not unlike other debit cards, Todd. You earn points when you could swipe with your debit card at eligible merchants, redeemable for cash back, Todd. Redeemable for cash back. You don't get that on your other debit card, Todd.
You don't, and there's no fees on over 40,000 in-network all-point ATMs in the U.S. with helpful spending insights and notifications to track where and when you're spending.
It's easy to create savings goals, Todd. And that's, so sometimes what you need is you need to set a goal when it comes to savings, and Current app has got your back. And that's also including the ability to round up purchases to save extra change, Todd. And yes. You know what? You get it. Go ahead.
It's what they're noticing by the description we're given is that, oh, so it sounds like they've taken some of these cool things from these other apps and then incorporated them into a true banking app. That sounds like that's probably what's going on here, right?
It sure is. And let me tell you something. Here's what you get with the premium account, Todd.
Okay.
First of all, direct deposits. When you set up your direct deposits with this, with Current app, you're getting your money up to 2 days early.
Oh, now, I need that.
You sign up again. Now, listen, my favorite part, though, because we all mess up from time to time. You get a little excited. Maybe you get a little bit of this. You get your wires crossed, your numbers, you know, overdraft up to $100 without fees. Now, that's a big deal, Todd.
It is a big deal because I overdraft my account this weekend by $15. And then I get that $30-some overdraft fee kicked on there. Now I'm minus $50 in my account.
Yep.
I got to wait till I get paid at the comedy club to deposit that shit to get out. And by then, I'm overdrafted 3 days, Sean.
Yeah, and guess whose fault that is? Your fault for being an asshole using regular bank, Todd. You need to go over here and get involved with the Current app. And just so you guys know, for a limited time, Current is going to give you guys a $50 sign-up bonus all to all new customers who sign up for premium and set up a direct deposit of $200 or more. That's right. Current will will give you $50. They'll deposit right into your account. Enter our code GUNS during your sign-up and visit current.com/guns to claim your offer. It's that easy, man.
Remember, that's code GUNS, G-U-N-S, during sign-up. Download the Current app, sign up in less than 2 minutes, and enter code GUNS during sign-up. Current is a technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Metropolitan Commercial Bank, members FDIC. Faster access to funds is based on comparison of traditional banking policies and deposit of paper checks from employers and government agencies versus deposits made electronically. Direct deposit and earlier availability of funds is subject to payer's support of the feature and timing of payer's funding. Overdrive is available only on Current premium accounts. Please refer to Overdrive features, terms and conditions, eligibility requirements apply. Try it out.
Promo code GUNS.
So what else went on with your weekend, man? I was in St. Louis. What were you doing this weekend? What went down?
You know, we're keeping it low key. We're moving some things right now. We're doing some things in there. I played in a cornhole tournament Saturday. We didn't do great the first one. Came out swinging the second one. Had some nice games. But more importantly, what's important here is that I'm seeing some serious, serious improvement in my game, Todd.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I'm getting real improvement in my game. I'm trying to make moves. And other than that, now, you know, just doing the little move thing right now, bro.
Getting ready to because your future in-laws have sold their house.
And they're moving to another house.
And moving to another house. And you guys are moving with them until you figure out your own thing to do.
Well, yeah. Well, there's two properties, there's two houses, so we'll be there on there because they're only there for some time of the year, not the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
They live in Florida, her parents, and that's it. You know, just making some moves here. Got the hair, you know, my haircut's doing really nice right now.
Nice.
My hair's feeling really good. You know, I'm down to 232 right now. I'm feeling light on my feet. My cornhole game is feeling nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, I got Dayton, Ohio on October 22nd and 23rd.
Come on.
If you're in a Dayton area, come party, come hang out, come have some drinks. Let me tell you some dumbass jokes, do a little crowd work. Maybe talk to Wiley, who's in that little door to the right of the stage. Ooh. Maybe back there, he never comes out during the show, but maybe he'll come out for the first time.
I got a date coming up in November at in Louisville or near Louisville. And then I have the night before Halloween in Dayton at Wiley's Comedy Club.
Oh, pre-Halloween night.
Just one night. Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing, pre-Halloween night. Because it's like, hey, parents, here's something for you to do. They do a really cool thing at Wiley's that night. So just two shows the one night, and then of course, they're closed for Halloween the next night. So just two shows in one night. But go to gunsblazingpodcast.com for all links to ticket and show information.
What's just going on, man? I know I put up an episode of Chef last week. That was one of our favorite ones. It was from like late May, obviously, when we shot that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. I mean, that's one of my favorite episodes. Just all the dumb shit going on, the drone work.
It was great.
The set right there is so perfect of the bar set.
So much production put into that one.
Yeah. And we just had a good time with that one. And Jeff absolutely, our editor Jeff absolutely destroyed on that one.
Destroyed. Hello.
Yeah, he crushed that one, bro. And obviously my homie Brad Mansfield in Indy, another producer on the show. He's doing some of the camera work. And obviously James, Big James fucking Stack, had the homie come through from Reese Roofing Company with the drone.
Nice. You know, speaking of roofs, here's what happened to me.
What's up with your roof, bro?
This is why I don't like insurance companies. Okay.
Let's hear it. What's going on?
Now I get it. If you have a business, the less money you have to pay out and shit, the more money you're able to keep. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But come on, insurance companies, you do nothing but take money and you hardly ever pay anything back out. So I have a roof leak, right? my roof is shit. I have all these water spots developing in like five different rooms of my house through the fucking drywall and the ceiling.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have a water leak issue.
Some shit's sitting, it's sitting too. It's sitting.
Yeah. So our buddy Damien, also in the roofing game, he's out, you know, at our house one day or whatever. And he looks at my roof just like at a glance. And he's like, man, do you have, you any trouble with water getting in? Cause you, to me, your roof looks a little fucked up. And I was like, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, so I walk him through all the spots, whatever. He goes, let me come back next week and let me do an inspection on your roof. You got to have hail and wind damage up there, right? For that to be happening. So he comes out and he does this thing where he's marking all that shit and he's taking photos or whatever. And he gives them to me. So I call my insurance company to make a claim. They send a guy out. He goes up on the roof and he's like, I didn't really see much, man. I don't think. I'm like, well, you just saw all the water spots in my fucking ceiling, bro. Like, yeah. What's causing that? And he's like, yeah, that is weird, right? Because I'm not seeing that kind of damage on to your roof. And I'm like, okay. But also, you're working for my insurance company. And if the roof is to get fixed, it's going to be money out of their pocket, not mine. So he then fucking
is that where Damien comes in?
Well, he sends his report to the insurance company. And next thing I know, I get a check for $1,300, just $1,300, which clearly is not even going to begin to get my roof fixed. And I'm like, this is a big slap in the fucking face. I'm like, I'm not cashing this check, right? Yeah. So I call Damien and I'm like, hey, this is what they sent. I forwarded him the email response with the fucking, hey, this is all you get. And he's like, well, let me call him. So he calls him, kind of raises hell, and he's like, I don't know who this guy is you sent to look at the roof, but it in no way comes close to the damage I documented. And he says, I think I should send you my full report and photos, and you guys should send somebody else out for a reinspection. And he sent me the response, and it said, that won't be needed. Just send us your report and an estimate on fixing it, and then we'll make sure that our client gets the funds needed. What?
That quick and easy?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so here's the practice. So I'm just telling the story for anyone that's listening who might be in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. I think I've figured it out. Here's the practice.
Let's hear the practice.
The insurance company sends you enough money. Like if you're in financial dire straits that you might be like, oh, thank God I have $1,300, you know, which I could really use right now. But I was smart enough. Like, no, I'm not just going to take this and just shut it the fuck up.
Because as soon as you cash a check, that's it.
That's it. It's gone. Right?
I'm saying like your claim is closed. You accepted $1,300 for damage.
Exactly. And then I can never revisit that. And I'm going to be fucked because I have probably $15,000 worth of damage because I'm going to need a whole new roof.
Yeah.
And thank God that we have a friend in the industry that could fucking intervene and call them on their bullshit. So they're like, oh, okay, this guy got a real roofing specialist involved. So let's just pay him like we're supposed to.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't taken that other step and just fucking said, okay, I really need $1,300 to fucking pay other bills on and cashed it, I would never get a fucking new roof. And then eventually my ceilings would fucking just start crumbling onto the floor.
And then you would have a convertible house.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going roofless. That's what I would have had to do before.
At the end of the day, you don't even need a roof, to be honest. Like, go get 8-9 pop-up tents.
Right?
You're
just
good.
Just put a bunch of tarps across there.
Blue, you know, even get the black tarp so it doesn't look so bad.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my next step, is just bungee cord a bunch of fucking tarps across my roof.
Yeah. So they got you a bigger check, and then you paid the roofing company, and your shit's getting fixed?
I will. I haven't gotten it yet, but I just got that news today.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, nice. Let's get this shit fixed.
Now we're going to go ahead and need Damien to get the job done cheaper. So tell Uncle Tom, keep a few thou. You know what I mean?
At least cover my deductible.
When I was working production in like 06, should I say?
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that was under our boss had a little scam. He would go, when he had to go to Home Depot to buy stuff for the production, he'd also buy extra stuff, a lot of extra stuff. And then when he didn't use said extra stuff, he went back in, returned it, and got fucking gift cards. So he'd have gigs over a few of them in a row, this guy's got $2,000-$3,000 worth of fucking gift cards, bro. He's selling them to people.
Nice.
Keeping them. But the production didn't give a fuck because they thought they needed the stuff.
Oh, did he get caught?
And you know what's funny is that, so when I was ending with that job, I had a nice little responsibility. You know, I was doing good at that job, and I had American Express for them. And I never one time did it one fraudulent dollar, bro.
Right.
Never once, ever. I was so happy with that job. I loved that job. I loved who I worked for. I would never in a million years try to do anything to, like, you know, defraud this man, which is not like I could do that much anyways with American. Like, what am I going to do? Buy shoes with an American? Like, I don't know. He would see it. So I don't know what he thought, right?
Right.
But when I went to Aruba, I'm sorry, not Aruba. When I went to the St. Kitts and the island in Nevis and St. Kitts for a gig in like 06, you know, I was behind a few months on my truck payments and I was hiding, you know, and no one knew where I was. These guys, I hid from about 2 years. But the reason I was about to get caught up, right? And then I got the money. I made like $4,000 while I was gone. And then I come back ready to pay off my fucking truck and get back to even and being good again. But the city of Hermosa Beach towed my shit 2 weeks earlier. And I owe $3,000 in back towing and storage and tickets.
Oh, no.
So I ended up not being able to catch back up. And then I ended up being deeper then because I had to spend every dollar. I had to get the car back out. And then I just kept on continuing to fumble on down the block and hide my car forever until I fucking called and told them to come get it. But, you know, like
finding that bitch.
Somehow my boss thought, because what happened was that the company looking for my repo figured out I had an American Express in my name and contacted the owner of the cards, which is my boss. And so he thought something fishy was going on. And I'm like,
damn,
no, man, my fucking car was about to get repoed but I got the job with you and I'm about to get caught up. When I came back, my shit got towed. So I couldn't get caught back up and they were fucking looking for it. But he got all bent out of shape and thought I was like, I'm mad. But here's another thing, though. Also, there was people at that company that did cocaine, but only on a fucking trip when he got bonkers one night.
Oh, okay.
And I just didn't do cocaine. Like, I mean, listen, in my 30s, I started to try this. I just said, all right, what's this about? So I did it a handful of times throughout a 10-year period. But in my 20s, I was just not about that life.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to do it. I only smoked weed, and that was where I drank, and I smoked weed, and that was it.
Right.
And so I think what really happened was that everything was going great at that job until I didn't do cocaine when I was in with a certain group of people.
So they were like, fucking Sean ain't cool, man. He won't fucking devil's dandruff.
Yeah. So while on a trip one night when everybody was partying their nuts off, I was in there hanging out with them, you know, when they were doing it, I just wasn't doing it. And then when they were giving it to me and I said, no, that could be a thing. Like if people or a certain group of people all do cocaine and you can't be a part of that group unless you do cocaine.
No, they're not going to let you stay in the club for sure.
No way.
Because
you
might be a cop for one.
Or you know what? It's just that if you ain't doing what we do, then you can't be where we are.
Right.
Like
you don't
especially
know
with cocaine.
How cool
weed,
we are.
Weed people don't care, bro. If you don't smoke, good, more for us, man.
Right.
Cocaine people are like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want to do it? What's going on here? They overanalyze.
I don't know why you want to go. What do you mean? You think you're better than me? What, yeah. You're better than me now? You know, could you look how red my nose is. Why is your nose red?
Hey, but looking back, I should have just did cocaine with the guy. What the fuck was I thinking?
You might be running the company right now.
I might have fucking.
You might be the CEO.
Give me some of that cocaine. You know what I'm saying? You ever see? I watched Boiler Room the other day. That's one of my favorite movies.
You know what one of the best cocaine scenes is in any movie?
What?
Is when in True Romance. When that Hollywood dude, the kind of the turd guy that used to play Balky,
yes,
on that TV show, and he's driving with that fucking
Cussoletti.
Cussoletti. And he has that big ass like fucking ounce, a big onion of coke, and fucking he's like, here, hide this. She's like, I'm not hiding it. And she fucking hits it, and it goes all over his face right before the cop walks up. Oh my god!
I gotta watch it again. I haven't seen it for a couple of years, and I only had seen it a couple of times before that. That's a movie that I wish I would have banged out 100 times like I did so many other movies, but I didn't.
True Romance is
so
one
good.
Of
I remember
the
it.
Better Tarantino movies.
It and really that, that's is. Also one that doesn't really get any sort of love.
It gets forgotten about, man. It had Dennis Hopper in it.
Michael Rappaport.
Yes. Christopher Walken. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Christian
Slater.
Leighton. Yeah. I keep wanting to say Leitner. God damn. Yeah, him Christian too. Leitner played in
very
it.
Very key role in the Olympic basketball team there in the early night. The dream team?
Is it Christian Slater? Is that his name? God damn. Just my brain.
I mean, I feel like it is.
Let's see. True Romance. I'm looking it up because I want to talk about that guy for a second. I don't want to fucking keep saying
yeah, Christian Slater, for sure.
Okay, Christian Slater.
Gary Oldman. Patricia Arquette. James Gandolfini was one of my favorite guys.
I forgot he was in it. That
Brad
scene,
Pitt, obviously. Dennis Hopper.
Val Kilmer.
Fucking Val Kilmer.
Come on. Val Kilmer, if you don't know, played Elvis in that movie.
Also, Chris Penn.
Dude, oh, God.
What a
so
film,
good.
Bro.
And Tom Sizemore. Jesus. Let's
love
go.
Tom Sizemore, bro.
What a cast. Everybody watch True Romance if you haven't seen it, because I think it might be, man, Django was really good. Pulp Fiction, obviously. But, man, this overall, this might be my favorite Tarantino movie.
I also think because of the people they had in it that they got early that were before, you know, a lot of those guys were obviously established, but they weren't who they are later on in life, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like one of those golden casts that you just pull out of your asshole.
Yes.
But, you know, because this is 93 just came out. So they must have filmed in 92, 91, you know, the latest 92. So, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of these guys, they were still young in Hollywood.
How did Christian Slater fall off? That's my question. He was,
by the way,
so
it was
huge.
Also, it was written by Tarantino, but directed by Tony Scott.
Okay. Okay.
Because I know that's not on his straight up reel of films I did.
Gotcha.
But it was awesome. You know, one of my favorite interviews of all time on the Tim Ferriss podcast is with fucking what's his name that wrote the chef movie, and he's in Swingers. Oh, yeah. Favreau.
John Favreau.
One of the greatest. Tim Ferriss is probably my favorite interview. Howard Stern and Tim Ferriss are my two favorite interviewers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Tim Ferriss talks, like, some of my favorite interviews of all time. Tim Ferriss interviewed Anthony Robbins, which is a great one. Interviewed Schwarzenegger, probably my favorite interview of all time. He interviewed John Favreau. And those are my top three with Tim Ferriss.
Mm-hmm.
That were just absolutely fucking incredible interviews. And it's just fun to like listen to Favreau talk about the process of when you become a writer, when you write something that hits, and then how your life is in Hollywood after you've written something that they can clearly see that you have what it takes.
Oh,
it's such a good interview.
What
Tim,
a moment.
You might have to, at this point, you probably have to pay a couple of bucks to listen to it, but it's way worth it. Tim Ferriss interviewing those people.
Dude, what happened to Christian Slater? He was so fucking big, and then just
no
all of a sudden,
forever,
one day, he just fell the fuck off like a light switch.
They all do. Who doesn't? I mean, people fall off. It's what, especially, you don't kind of like morph into some sort of other version of the business or something else. No one's. I mean, look at Steven Seagal, our fucking hero. One minute you're doing, you know, you're doing one of his top movies.
I hate Steven Seagal. He got what he deserved.
And then
fallen off.
Everybody though. Schwarzenegger said fuck the movies and he went into politics.
Sure, but that was his choice. Christian Slater didn't say, hey, I would rather make 24 movies a year that no one watches than to make two big ones a year. I mean, he was in Broken Arrow, bro. Broken Arrow. And now he's making these fucking these westerns and shit that looks like they made it in 2 weeks.
Well, you know what? Maybe that's his passion. Fuck it, bro. He got his money.
Yeah.
He don't know. You know what? I'll say this. I mean, I just now thought of this perspective, but these people don't owe nobody nothing. I'm pretending on camera. Fuck off. You know, like if I'm Christian Slater, I'm going to tell Todd McComas and Sean Latham to suck my dick.
He's accomplished.
Like, bro, how about this? I'm a billionaire. You know me for everything. Every time I go anywhere, even when I'm old now, people recognize me. If I want to do some dumb shit, then I'm going to do some dumb shit.
I don't think it was his fault, my thing. I'm with you, yeah. Christian Slater. I'm a huge fan. I fucking loved you and everything. Young Guns 2, you saved it.
Oh, come on.
You saved it. But what I'm saying is, I think Hollywood sometimes picks and chooses. I wonder if he just didn't play the game. You know, what happened? Mm-hmm. One day someone decided we're not fucking with Christian Slater anymore. And it's a travesty. It's a travesty. I think his career could have ended up even, you know, much greater than it was. He still deserves to be in some kind of Hall of Fame.
I wish he would come back like, what's his name from Ozarks came back.
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, we need a Christian Slater fucking hard right, you know, hard strong 180. Come on back, fucking bring it on back, just like Christian, Jason Bateman did.
What was the TV series that brought Jason Bateman back? It was Arrested Development.
Yeah, Arrested Development.
So we need something like that. Like if you're a talented writer in Hollywood, write something right now for Christian Slater. To bring him the fuck back. Also, do the same for Cuba Gooding Jr., please. I really enjoy him.
He has a lot of sexual cases, and he has a lot of sexual misconduct cases.
Oh, does he? Okay, don't write anything for him. Don't write anything for him.
But people do know that a lot of the Hollywood elite writers listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a given. People get that. People know it. It's out there. It's a known thing.
The Screenwriters Guild nominated this podcast for Best Podcast to defend actors whose careers got cut too short.
People think
for 2020.
Yeah. People forget about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, fucking Christian Slater. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Man, what a fucking savage young. And you called it, man. Listen, did Christian Slater save Young Guns 2? You're goddamn right he did.
Dude, I mean, because we didn't even want the sequel, right? We're like, listen, don't fuck with Young Guns, dude.
How about Very Bad Things? Remember that movie? Remember how much of a shock factor, shock value, what the fuck am I watching level movie that movie was?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, bro. I'm telling you, bro. The list just goes on. Bed of Roses. Fuck off, man. If you're not a Christian Slater person, get off our feed, bro.
Get off our feed. Listen, I'm going to run through a few of the projects. Heathers. Remember Heathers? Changed my life. True Romance. The Robin Hood movie, The Name of the Rose, Interview with the Vampire, Broken Arrow with John Travolta, Pump Up the Volume.
It sounds like you're forgetting 3,000 Miles of Graceland, my friend.
Oh, come on.
Get off our feet if you don't like Christian Slater, guys.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying.
That's Cuffs. A fucking class, bro. The Contender.
Hard Rain. Jesus.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Very Bad Things with him and Jeremy Piven is a movie that I think a lot of people aren't aware of. And when Jeremy Piven was on Pat's show, that's the one thing I asked him about, because I felt like that was just a very underrated movie. For whatever reason, it just got kind of gleamed over, but I thought it was so fucking good, and he fucking loves that movie. So it was a great question by me. I'm not patting myself on the back right now.
I'll pat you on the back. I'm going to fucking reach right through this stream and pat you on the back.
Come on. Wind Talkers. I forgot about Wind Talkers. He was Nicolas Cage.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Jesus.
Yeah, it is. Guess what? Warrior. Come out and play. I don't know why I thought of that. I saw two bottles, and I knew if I did the noise together right now, it would be the same fucking thing, you know?
What a gang movie that was. We had a gang where they dressed in Yankees uniforms and painted their faces white.
Fuck it, bro.
And ran around in cleats. How effective are you as a gang in a gang fight? Yeah, granted, you have baseball bats, but you're also on metal cleats on pavement. You're not going to be able to fight where the fuck.
When they go to the lawn, guess who's going to be making fucking hard cuts? These gangsters.
We only fight in the grass.
10-yard post. Gone!
We only fight on grass or artificial turf. There's no parking lot fights with our gang.
No. You fight in the lot, kid. Mm-hmm. Not the parking lot, the dirt lot. You know what I mean?
I love it. Everybody, give Christian Slater a shout out on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserves it. It's not an RIP. It's can't wait for your resurgence to greatness.
Your career resurgence. Also, we're waiting for ours as well. So if you guys can go ahead and just go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube, we'd really be thankful.
Subscribe to our YouTube and pass it around. And if you know somebody that's not listening to this podcast that you think might like it, you know what? Say, give this a try. Here's my favorite episode. Just listen to that. Mm-hmm. And then if you think you want to become a listener like me, then we'd appreciate it.
All right, Todd.
All right, brother. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, love you, buddy.
Love you.
Later.